obtain additional copies, receive a free catalog of AA and Al-Anon talks, or to find out about our tape and CD of the month club, call Encore Audio Archives at 1-800-878-1308 or visit our website at www.12steptapes.com.
Hi, everybody. I'm Bob Zetz. I'm an alcoholic. Really happy to be here this morning. We've had a fantastic weekend. I want to thank everybody for making that possible. It's just been really a joy. I mean, I haven't had so much fun since I quit drinking. Anyway, there she is. Jean, my little Jean. Jean's very special in my life, and her husband was one of my AA heroes, Jack. I love that guy. You know, he was... But I have a lot of heroes in AA and Al-Anon, and some of them are in this room, and I thank you for being here, and I thank you for my life. I love Al-Anon. It's been a big part of my sobriety. I know there's a lot of Al-Anons that love me, and I know I love a lot of Al-Anons. But after saying that, I got to tell you, I don't understand you. And I always have to say, I don't understand why somebody cares what somebody else is doing. That whole concept just doesn't, I don't get it, you know. I'll tell you, when Betty Ann was out chasing me all over Reno, not one time did I ever think, geez, I wonder what Betty Ann's doing. Thought never crossed my mind, ever. So, because you know what? I'm a selfish, self-centered alcoholic. And my motto is hooray for me and screw you. That's how I live my life, and that's the way I think naturally. So I don't have time to think about what she's doing or what her problem is. The only thing I'm thinking about is how about me, you know? Me, 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 as Bob Fisher sings, you know? Me, 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 I, you know? And that's just the way I live my life. And I don't know where I got that. I don't know how that happened to me. But I lived that way for a long time, and I went through a lot of things in my drinking days. I went through families. Every family I ever had was dysfunctional. And the reason it was dysfunctional is because I was in it, you know. But I went through families. I went through businesses. I went through states. I went through everything. And I screwed up everything I ever touched, you know. And all I had to do is totally screw my life up and end up here this morning. You know, that's the miracle of Alcoholics Anonymous. You take a scumbag like me and give me the life that I have today. It's unbelievable. I mean, I think about it sometimes. How the hell did that happen? You know, I don't know. You know, Betty and I are going to be married 36 years in 2 days. Right. Now, believe me, that is a super miracle. And there's 4 reasons for that. There's AA, there's Al-Anon, and there's Keith and Sally Carpenter. That's the only reason we're together. That's it. And if you don't have a sponsor, I'll tell you, if you're anything like me, you need one, you know? And you need to let him know everything about you like I had to do with Keith. And I did something else with my sponsor that not a lot of people do. I don't recommend it for anybody, but it worked for me. I'm the kind of a guy, I'll tell you, there's a few things that I've learned about myself since I've been sober. One of the things is that this head doesn't give this person good information. Never has, never will, you know. And the other thing I've learned about me is that my life works better when I do things I don't want to do more than when I do things I do want to do. Because I've always done everything I wanted to do, you know. And so I had this sponsor, and I was very close to my sponsor. I was, you know. He knew everything about it. There was nothing that I did that he didn't know about. But I gave Betty Ann many, many years ago, I gave Betty Ann permission to turn me in. Because when I'm being a jerk, I'm the last one to recognize it. So she'd call Keith and say, he's at it again, you know. And I, you know, Keith was the kind of sponsor that I know he loved me because, I mean, you know, the things we did together are endless, but... I could always tell when Betty Ann called him, because he'd call me, and he never called me unless he wanted something. But he'd call me, and he'd always start out, Robert. He called me Bobby, you know, but when she called, he called me Robert. And he'd say, "You've been at it again, haven't you?" And tell me about it, you know, and I'd tell him what's going on and all that. And then he'd give me some direction what to do, and I'd try to change my life a little bit, you know. And it's really funny. A lot of people in this room knew Keith and Sally, and as you all know, Keith died 4 years ago, and it was Super Bowl Sunday. He was an ex-football player, so it was a perfect day for him to die, I guess. And I always like to remember this because the very, very last time I talked to him was about 4 days before he died. And he's in the intensive care unit at the Eisenhower Medical Center in Palm Springs, or wherever it is. And he calls me. "How the hell are you calling me from the..." But only Keith could figure this out, you know. He's in the ICU unit at the hospital, and he's calling me. And it starts out, "Robert." He says, "What's going on with you?" And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Betty Ann called me this morning." "And you're up to your old tricks again, aren't you?" And anyway, so we talked for a while, and then the last thing he said, the last words that he ever said to me were, "Bob, just be nice." And I think about that a lot because I'm not a nice person, naturally, you know. But I'm gonna try to live my life in honor of my late sponsor because he gave me the life I have, you know, and the marriage I have, and I have a great marriage, you know. I really do. I don't know how she feels about it, but, you know. And the reason I do is, you know, my life has been one big job, you know. I mean, it's been a lot of work to live my life with me. And my marriage now is effortless. That's the best way I can explain it. It's effortless. And it took me many, many years to get to that point, you know. And I used to hear speakers when I was new about, you know, they liked their job, they liked their wife, they liked this, they liked everything about their life and all that. How the hell do you ever get there, you know? I didn't think that would ever happen to me. But I got to tell you something, this happened to me. Somewhere along the line, everything just kind of mellowed out, and there's really no big deals anymore. I don't know, Alcoholics Anonymous and Al-Anon and the people in the program have given me that grace, and I really love it. But I, you know what, Betty Ann talked about the fact that how we met and all that, and it's really funny because, you know, I kind of relate my life and what's happened to me to actually what's happened to Alcoholics Anonymous. If you don't believe that God had a hand in starting this program, I mean, if you went to the Stepping Stone things, and if you went to Jay's deal yesterday, and all the coincidences that happened to have Alcoholics Anonymous happen. All the stars had to line up just perfectly. If somebody would have been a day later, something wouldn't have happened. I mean, if God didn't have a hand in that, I mean, then there ain't no God, you know. And I feel the same way about my life. I really do, because the only reason I met Betty Ann is that I had two DUIs in 25 days. And they were both in Sparks, Nevada, which is right next to Reno. And I knew I was in trouble, you know. Now, I have a keen alcoholic mind. you never hear that word in Al-Anon, but let me tell you how keen my alcoholic mind is. The second DUI I got, I pull up in front of a bar in Reno, and I get out of the car and I go in the bar and there ain't nothing happening. So I come back out of the bar and there's a cop standing by my car. Now I'm so drunk I can't even hardly walk. And the cop says, "Is this your car?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "I just had a report of a blue Cadillac going the wrong way on the freeway out east of town. Was that you?" I said, "No, I've been in here for hours." You know? Well, he puts his hand on the hood, and of course it's hot, you know. And he says, "Oh, yeah, okay. I believe you." Anyway, so he says, "Okay." So I get in the car. The guy's standing there. I stagger around, get in the car, and drive off. Of course, I go about a half a block and he nails me, you know. Keen alcoholic mind, right? Anyway, so I had these, and I just had a DUI 25 days before that in the same town. I hadn't even been to court on that one yet. So I'm thinking, you know, I need to get a shyster lawyer that can fix this for me. So I knew this lawyer that owned a casino, and he was a big deal in Sparks, and he owned this casino in Sparks. And he had a casino on the ground floor. In the back of the casino, he had a really lively nightclub with live girls and live music, and I liked that, you know. And on the second floor was his law offices. So I used to tell my wife, I got to stop by and see my attorney after I close the restaurant up and talk about my case. And she believed me, you know. And this was my second wife and my fourth wife. They were both the same people. I also had a first and second wife that were I had a first and third wife were the same people. Don't ask me. I also figured out, you know, I got another disease called this ain't it-ism, because whenever I get something, after a while, my head says this ain't it. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm stopping at this to see my attorney, right? And I go in, and I'm going in the back room. Well, one night I went in there, as Betty Ann was telling me, I come in there with this big blonde with the big, she identified her. And I see this good-looking cocktail waitress, man. She was gorgeous. She really was in those days. She is now, too. But really, really gorgeous. Built, you know. And they wore hot pants in those days. Remember hot pants?
Oh, yeah.
So the cocktail waitress wore hot pants, and I saw her, and she was wearing hot pants, and I had hot pants. And so one thing led to another, and, you know, and we started this romance. I mean, of course, I got a little problem because I got a wife, you know. And so we start hanging out together, and it's really funny because I was pretty drunk that first night we met. And I went back, I think, the next night or the night after, and I said, did I leave you a tip? And, you know, I said, I need to apologize for my actions. And I said, you know, and I said to her, don't I know you? And it's really funny because I did know her. I knew her in Seattle. There used to be this, you know, there was a bar that I drank my lunch every day at. And she worked there one day a week as a cocktail waitress. And so we knew each other kind of. Anyway, so one thing led to another. She came to work for me. We got rid of my wife and da-da-da-da, got married. And, you know, on and on. And then, you know, but what happened was is that, you know, Reno in those days was a very small town, and all of the casinos were owned by local people. And I owned this really nice cocktail lounge and restaurant. And in those days, everybody used to comp everybody. So if the maitre d' came into my restaurant, I would comp him. If I went to the Harrah's to go to a show, they'd comp me, you know. And we did all these comps back and forth. And we knew everybody, you know. I mean, I was really living the life. And my routine was I'd close the restaurant down about midnight or 1, whatever it was, and I'd go downtown and drink for 2 or 3 hours free. And I could drink in any casino for nothing. And I, you know, just have party every night, you know. And we did this for about 3 or 4 months after we got together, maybe 6 months, I don't know. And one night she turned on me, and she said, you know, I can't do this anymore. I said, what's that? She goes, I can't work all day and run this restaurant and then go drink all night. You know, I got to go home and get some rest. And I said, well, go, you know. I know how to drink. I don't need you with me to drink. So she started going home. And that's when the trouble started, because I still was doing my routine. And of course, I didn't have a driver's license because I had this 2 DUIs. So I had an account with Whittlesey Cab Company. And I'd had the taxi take, you know, so she's calling Whittlesey every 5 minutes. Where is he? I know you got him. Where'd you take him? Blah, 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 you know. I mean, she's just craziness, you know. And so this went on for a while, and we finally got married in June of 1974, and it only lasted 3 months before she made me call AA. Can you believe that? I mean, didn't take her long to get her way, I'll tell you. But I was not AA material, you know. I'll tell you something else about alcoholism. You know, this is a family disease. Alcoholism is a cunning, baffling disease. We've all heard that, but I'll tell you. If you didn't know what really was going on, you saw Betty Ann and I in 1974, you'd say, there's really a nice young couple. They really got it together. I mean, I dressed nice. She dressed nice. I had this nice business. We had a nice house in the right neighborhood. We drove the nice car. We knew all the right people. Our life looked like it was in pretty good shape. And it was all a facade, man. It was a total facade. The truth of the matter was is that she was divorcing me every other day almost. I owed everybody in town money. My credit cards were all canceled. The restaurant was on COD. They wouldn't even take my checks anymore. I had $60,000 worth of hot checks out to casinos. They had, at the time, I had a little problem called a little gambling problem. But to me, it wasn't gambling because I never took any money out. I just left it there. And I it was before fast computers. So I had this check kiting thing going, I mean, my life was a shambles. But I had to put on this facade, man. I had to put on this act. I had to look good. And it was killing me. It really was. And I had no idea. I mean, I had 14 balls in the air, and I was really tired, man, trying to keep them all up there. But you know something? You can get caught up in the disease, too. Eventually, you do that long enough, it gets to be normal.
To obtain additional copies, receive a free catalog of AA and Al-Anon talks, or to find out about our tape and CD of the Month Club, call Encore Audio Archives at 1-800-878-1308 or visit our website at www.12steptapes.com.
And that's where I was at when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. I was so screwed up that it was normal, And I didn't know there was any other way to live. Because by that time, I'd been living that way for many, many years. I was always in some deal. I'd lived all over the country. I'd go to one state until everything went bad, and then I'd leave, I had three kids from a previous marriage, and I was a terrible father. I was the kind of a father that once in a while, if I had money, I'd show up, and I'd be the conquering hero. I'd bring all these presents, or I'd fly them somewhere, and I'd do all this stuff for them, and then they'd go 2 or 3 years and never hear from me, I'll tell you, I bought my son a car 1 year for Christmas. He was 5 years old. Yeah. I mean, stupid, crazy stuff, And I made money, and I've always had a knack of being able to make money. I don't know why that is, but I got a better knack of spending money. I don't care how much I make, I spend it. I've had the big houses, I've had the big cars, I've had the airplanes, the boats, I've had it all, But nothing ever lasted because I'm the kind of a guy that I go through everything. I'm a tornado going through everybody's life. And I was living that way, and it was normal, And I get to Alcoholics Anonymous, and she makes me call that morning, and I didn't want to call AA. I didn't think I had a drinking problem. I never had any desire to even cut down, let alone stop. There was I had no idea I had a drinking problem. I had a crazy wife problem, And, I had a money problem, But she, I loved her. I really did. I was madly in love with Betty. Still am, But I was madly in love with Betty, and I didn't want to lose her. I really didn't. And she said, either you call AA or out the door, I knew she meant it. That morning when I got home and she said, I've called Al-Anon, you do something about your drinking or it's over. I knew she meant it. I knew something was different. I got to play along with this one. And my attitude was now, up to that point, I thought, Betty Ann has tried everything. She's been to the palm reader. She'd been to the psychiatrist. She bought a sexy outfit from Fredericks to Hollywood to try to keep me home from going out. She'd done all these things. Nothing worked. I figured, well, she'll go to Al-Anon. She'll get bored with that in a couple of weeks, and we'll try something new, So, I mean, AA can't be that bad. I can go stand on my head there for a couple of weeks if I had to, probably. So I said, I'll call, Anyway, so she dialed the number, of course, and the line was busy. I finally got through, and a lady answered, Mary D., who's become a dear friend of ours over the years, and she said, there's a meeting tonight. Can you go? I said, yeah, I'd like to, but I got to go see Liberace. I made a commitment to a friend of mine. I got to take him to see Liberace. But I'll catch you some other time. That's how enthusiastic I was about going to AA. But I did go to, finally, the Monday night meeting she was talking about. The puke on the shoes group. And I go to this meeting, and after the meeting, she went to her first Al-Anon meeting, and on the way back to the restaurant, I told her, I said, you know what, Betty Ann? I don't think I can do this, man. This is just too lame for me. I'm hip, slick, and cool, man. I'm going to go to this stupid Al-Anon meeting in an old house at the Dryers Club in Reno. You got to be kidding me. And she said, you talked to my brother had been in AA about 12 years at that time, and And I talked to him, and we have a kind of a strange relationship. We have a great relationship, actually. We've never had a fight in our life. It's unbelievable. But anyway, I made a commitment to him that I'd try AA. And somebody mentioned that this month, at this conference. They didn't say 90 days in those days. He said, just go to AA for 30 days and see, and then at the end of the 30 days, if you don't like it, do whatever you want to do. But give yourself a break. Go to AA for 30 days. And I made a commitment to him that I would. And Betty Ann reminded me of that. So I started going to AA, and I met a guy who kind of took me under his wing, and da-da-da-da-da-da, and I started getting involved, and I really liked AA. I liked Alcoholics Anonymous. I liked the meetings. I liked the people. I liked everything about AA. I thought I was doing what everybody else was doing in AA. Went to a lot of meetings. I've always loved meetings, still do. But my head started doing numbers on me. I started thinking all these goofy things, you know. I'm not doing anything about my life. I'm not cleaning anything. I'm still bobbing and weaving and jiving and lying and doing all. But, you know, when you live the kind of life I live, you got to lie, you know. I mean, people ask you stupid questions. How the hell are you going to answer them if you don't lie, you know? Like, you know, your wife says, where you been for 3 days, you know? Oh, I picked up a blonde. We went to Tahoe for 3 days. You can't tell her that. You got to tell her. You know, you got to lie. You know, it was just the way it is. And I was still doing that. And I got to the point where I wanted to drink, and I didn't want to drink all the time. And finally, I had to drink. You know, and 15 months later, I took a drink one night, because I thought it would turn my head off, and it didn't help at all. And I got so drunk physically and so drunk, I mean, I couldn't walk and I couldn't talk. I was just, but my head was as clear as it is today, right now. And I said, you know what? I'm screwed. AA don't work and booze don't work. And I was at a bar and I walked home and I had a moment of clarity. I just said, you know, hey, I'm an alcoholic. My life is going to be a mess if you drink like me, you can't drink, you know. That's just the way it is. And I'm going to have to go to AA, and I'm going to probably have to get a sponsor and even try the steps. And my life's over, and I will be miserable ever after. I'll never have fun again. I really believed that, and I was okay, because by that time we had our new son was 3 months old, and I decided to do AA, and something happened to me that morning, that day when I was walking home. I just knew that I needed to go to Alcoholics Anonymous and I needed to do what they told me to do. And I became willing, I guess. And I started my program, you know. And everything's been, Betty Ann told you what happened with our little girl. Our daughter died, and I was about a year sober when that happened. I was going through a period of where I had a real problem with acceptance. I'm the kind of a guy that for me to accept something, I got to either like it or approve of it a little bit. For me to accept something unacceptable, no way. I'm not going to do that. Yeah. And when that baby died, man, I had to accept it. I was really upset with God. You know, I couldn't believe that this was happening to me. And it was a tough thing for me. I just couldn't accept it, you know. But I had to accept it. Thank God I had a good sponsor and a lot of people and a lot of friends in AA and Al-Anon, and they helped me. And I got through that. And I learned something about acceptance, you know. There are certain things in life that you have to accept. And alcoholism is a family disease. And I'll tell you something. My family has been devastated by alcoholism. I'll get a little roll. I'm not going to say this to get sympathy, because I don't need sympathy, because I'm okay with it. My life is fantastic, but I'll give you a little scorecard. My father died from this disease. I had a son that died from this disease. I had two grandsons that died from this disease. I had three son-in-laws that died from this disease. You know, this disease has devastated my family in a lot of ways, and I don't know what's going on with my daughter. She's out there right now doing whatever the hell she's doing. And I worry about her, and I think about it all the time, you know. Not all the time, but I think about her, you know, because, you know, she's my beautiful little daughter, and who knows what she's doing, and it scares the hell out of me sometimes. I remember when she was in prison, I was actually relieved when she went to prison, because I knew where she was, you know. Remember the first time she got arrested, you know, I didn't know what the hell to do. She calls me from jail, you know, what do? Dad, you got to get me out of jail, same as Betty Ann. When I did it with Betty, I hadn't even been to a meeting yet, and I hung up on Betty Ann, you know. But when Amy did it, I mean, I was like 15 years sober. And She calls me. So, you know, I call my sponsor. He's out of the country on business. Oh, crap. So I call Clancy. Clancy's not home yet, right? Charlotte answers the phone. So I say, Charlotte, you got to help me. Listen, blah, blah, blah. I go, what's going on with Amy, you know? What should I do? She says, here's what you do. I'm going to tell you right now, Bob. If you get that kid out of jail, I will never speak to you again. An Al-Anon, right? And I, so then, just then Clancy walked in the door. He just got home from work, and he heard her say that. So she handed him the phone. He says, did you hear that? And I said, yeah. He says, you do what she tells you. Clunk. I didn't get her out of jail, you know. And I went down to the big jail. She was in Van Nuys at the time. They took her down to the big jail downtown. And I went in there, and I said to her, Amy, you know, you've turned your will and your life over to the care of the L.A. Sheriff's Department. And now I guess you're screwed. You know, you're going to have to do what they tell you. So, you know, God bless you. What else am I going to do? I mean, I don't know. But she's been, you know, she's been in and out of the program for, I don't know, 12, 15 years, I guess. And I don't know why she don't get it, but one of these days maybe she will, I hope. I hope she gets it because, you know, she can have a life like all of us do in here, you know. It looks like I'm about out of time, but I've had a fantastic life in this fellowship. Betty Ann and I have had the privilege to be able to sponsor a lot of people and do a lot of things, and we have a really, really full life, we really do. I know I have some regret about the way I treated my first batch of kids. I was a terrible father. My second batch of kids that Betty Ann and I had together, I was a fair father, but I'll tell you something. I'm a fantastic grandfather. I'm the best, man. our daughter Kimberly, who lives in Reno, our granddaughter Olivia just turned 16 a while back, and so Betty Ann called and said, "What's Olivia want for her birthday?" She goes, "She wants to see Taylor Swift." And so she said, "Who the hell is Taylor Swift?" Yeah. So because we're in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous and Al-Anon, we know people, you know? So we call up a guy that we know in the program. He's a big producer, you know? A good friend. In fact, Betty Ann sponsors his wife. I've known this guy since before he got sober. You know, we're close friends. Tommy, you got to get us tickets to go see Taylor Swift. So he gets four tickets in a private box at Staples Center. So now... Olivia thinks we're the greatest thing since gunpowder. But that's the kind of gifts that you get from Alcoholics Anonymous and Al-Anon by sticking around and doing stuff, you know. And I could go on all day. And I mentioned this in the meeting yesterday, you know, the gratitude I have, and I've been recently reading about it, what Bill Wilson talked about gratitude. You know, gratitude without action is just a pleasant emotion. We need to practice gratitude by sharing what we've received with other people. And I try to do that as much as I can, and we do that in our marriage and in our life. And I want to leave you with a paragraph out of the big book that I think really is something that identifies with me and what's going on in my life and probably a lot of people in this room, because if you're at Al-Anon, you've got... You know, you may have a kid that's drinking or a husband or a wife or whatever. Hopefully we're all in sobriety. But there's a paragraph in the big book that talks about two sins and one law. I don't know how many of you have read that, but it says there's two sins. The first sin is to interfere with the growth of another human being. And the second sin is to interfere with your own growth. And the law is love. And I know for me, a lot of times I've interfered with the growth of another human being, like my daughter. There's been times that I probably didn't give her the chance to live up to the consequences of her actions. And when I do that, it affects my growth because I'm interfering with my own growth. And it's a fine line, you know, especially when you're a parent and you got a kid out there, you know, to make that, to do the right thing. It's really difficult sometimes to do. That's why I have a sponsor. You know, and when Keith died, I got his sponsor for my sponsor, who's Clancy. Clancy's been a fantastic sponsor for me. He really is. He's always there for me when I need him, and he gives me good direction. And he's, you know, and he's in the same boat. He's got a kid that's also out there. We talk about this from time to time. And he tells me sometimes, you know, when you figure out what to do with your kid, let me know so I'll know what to do with mine. You know, he's 51 years sober, and he's asking me to tell him what to do with his, you know. And that's the way this thing works, you know. We've all got something to offer, and we've all got something to take, and we've all got something to give, you know. And the law is love, you know. That's what it all comes down to. That's what Dr. Bob said in his last talk, you know. When you boil this thing down to all to the begin what it's Alcoholics Anonymous is about, it's about love, you know. And I got to tell you, I love all of you, and I know you love me. Thank you.
Enjoyed this recording. To obtain additional copies, receive a free catalog of AA and Al-Anon talks, or to find out about our tape and CD of the month club, call Encore Audio Archives at 1-800-878-1308 or visit our website at www.12steptapes.com.